We begin the current daf Masechtas Kedushin daf Yud Beis. Begin 10 lines down for the top of the Yamut, where the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah that opened up this Masechta. The Mishnah said that there's three ways that a man could acquire a woman in Kedushin. That's Kesef, Shtar, and Bia, with money, cohabitation, and with a document. Now the Mishnah discussed what is the minimum amount necessary to create the kinyan of Kesef of Kedushin. So we had a Machlekes B'Sham and B'Sil. B'Sham we discussed in the previous daf, he holds has to be a minimum of a dinner. Whereas Basil holds much lower than that, it could be even the lowest denomination of currency, which is what's called a pruta, as our Gemara quotes. Or Basil Ayman Bepruta, all has to be as a pruta. Now, relating to Basil's halacha, the Gemara says as follows. Savar Rav Yosef Lememer, Rav Yosef thought to say that pruta kol dehu, whatever is a pruta is what's valid for Kedushin. In other words, that currency goes up and down, it fluctuates. According to the generation that what is their lowest denomination of a coin, of a pruta, that's going to be the minimum value necessary to create Kedushin for a woman. Sometimes the pruta would be higher, sometimes it's low, but whatever it is, at that time in history, that's the necessary lowest currency to create a Kedushin. That was what Rav Yosef thought to say. Now, on that, Abaye asked Rav Yosef, but v'alok tani, we learned in our Mishnah as follows. The Mishnah clarifies, kamehi pruta, how much is a pruta that Basil holds is necessary to create a Kedushin? Says the Mishnah, echad mishmayna be'isser hitalki, 1/8 of the Italian isser. Now, what is the Mishnah saying? You're saying it depends on whatever's going on in history, so why are you defining the pruta? Just say it's the lowest currency. Obviously, says Abaye, that they know there is a set amount that the pruta, which was at that time, that's the set amount, that's how much the pruta has to be. Less than that, if the value of it goes down, there's not going to be valid for, quote, a pruta to create a kedushin. Now, says Abaye, v'chitem, and if you're going to say, hanemila b'derish al Moshe, no, that the Mishnah was only qualifying, that's in the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu. In those days, that's what the pruta was worth, and therefore that's what a pruta was. Aval hacha, but here, maybe it's like what Rav Yosef thought to say, k'dechashva lohu l'inshu, maybe like it is today, it's how much a person considers significant. Now that's the value of the penny, of the pruta, or whatever the lowest denomination of it is. That's what it's going to be. Maybe that's why it's not going to be difficult on Rav Yosef and the Mishnah, because they were just describing what it was in those times. But in today's times, it could be different, because it fluctuates. That says, Abaya, but v'ha ki asa Rav Dimi amur. Rav Dimi came to Babel, he said, Shir Reb Simoi b'dayre kamehi pruta. Reb Simoi evaluated in his generation how much was the value of a pruta. In other words, an incident had come in front of Reb Simoi regarding a woman that was engaged with a pruta, and he made sure that it had to have been worth echad mishmayne b'isser yitalki, 1/8 of the Italian isser, and since it wasn't worth that amount, he voided the kedushin. It has to be that amount. So to v'chi asa Ravin amu. When Ravin came to Babel, he said, Reb Destoy, Reb Yane, Reb Oishia, all of them were Shiru Kama have a pruta. They all evaluated how much is the necessary value of a pruta. And they said it's Echad Mishisha be Isra Talki, 1/6 of the Italian Isra, which the Gemara later on is going to explain what's their machlekes, if it's 1/8 or 1/6. Seemingly, like our Mishnah said, it's 1/8. But one thing Abai is proving is that what are they evaluating? Just take the lowest coin. Obviously, it's not like Rav Yosef, it's not just whatever the lowest coin is. A pruta has a certain value in halacha. Now, that was in that times. Now that the value would go down or up, that's not what it is. You have to figure out how much today is correlating to how much it was in those times, and then you'll be able to figure out how much it is, which could be either 1/8 or 1/6 of the Italian isser. But it's not just the lowest coin, like Rav Yosef wanted to say. Now, Amalei Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef responded to Abaye, he said, Ihachi, if that's the case, the way you're saying, that you can't have a pruta less than 1/8, let's say, of Italian isser, well, then, Hainu de Tanina, then how do we understand this that we learned in the following Brisa, which is taught in Torah's Kayanim, which there that Mishnah is talking about someone that derives pleasure from Hektish, where the halacha is that even if it's just the amount of pleasure of a pruta, he has to bring a carbon asham that's, as the Pasuk says, Kesev Shkalim. He has to bring two silver coins of Shkalim, which what the Brisa there is illustrating is to go ahead and calculate how much a person has to distance himself from sin, where even if a person had hanav from Hektish by mistake, through an error, he has to have such a great atonement, all the more so in different situations. What's the Brisa illustrating? Because the Brisa says, Tzeva chashav, go out and calculate, kama prutas b'shnei sloim, how many prutas are there in two sloim? In other words, here this person only had a pruta worth of hanav from Hektish, yet the carbon ashram that he has to bring it has to be worth a value of two sloy. So you only had this much pleasure of sin, and how much is the punishment? Yisim alpayim, more than 2,000 prutis there are in two sloyim, so it's 2,000 times the consequence for the sin that was done. That's what the Brice is coming to illustrate. Now, however, says Rav Yosef, but hashta, now, if it's like you're saying, that a pruta is never the lowest coin, it's always going to be 1/8 of the Italian nisr, well then, alpayim, 2,000 prutis loy havin, you're not going to have 2,000 prutis in two sloyim, as the Gemara shortly is going to show the calculations. Yes, sir, alpayim karlohu. So how could the Tanya the Brisa say, wow, could you imagine that? That's more than 2,000? It's not even 2,000. So how can you say that it's going to be 2,000, that's how many prutas you're having in two sloyim? So amalahu ahu saba. So there was a certain elder that told Rabbi Yosef that you're making an error in the text of that Mishnah. Because anot taninula, I learned that Brisa in Teres Kainim, and it actually doesn't say that it was 2,000. It actually, the Gemara says karv l'alpayim. It's close to 2,000 prutas. So on that, the Gemara still asks. Saif. So ultimately, it still doesn't answer Yosef's question, because alpha v'chamesh meyo v'tlosin v'shisahu dehavin. It's still not going to be close to 2,000. It's going to be 1,536, because a sela is 4 dinarin. A dinar is 24 isarim, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain the calculations of all these different coins and currencies. Now, still doesn't answer Abuse's question, because if an isar is 8 prutas, because a pruta is 1/8 of the Italian isar, and that's always a standard amount, you cannot change that, as Abai is telling Rav Yosef, then it comes out that you have 192 prutas in a dinar. Which means that the 8 dinarim that you have in the 2 sloim, because we said that a sela is 4 dinarim, so the 2 sloim that we're discussing over here, which how much the karbonoshim has to be worth, you have 8 dinarim. Each dinar is coming out that you have 192 prutais. So if you take the 192 prutais times 8 for the amount of dinarim that there are in the 2 sloim, so it comes out to this 1,536. So it still doesn't answer Rabbi Yosef's question. It's not going to be close to 2,000. But the Gemara says no. Kiven the nafkalahu, since the amount of the prutais in the two sloim, it crosses over into the second thousand. Mipalga crosses the halfway point, which is 36 more into the halfway point. So karv l'alpayim karv l'alpayim, that's already closer. When one rounds off, it's closer to this 2,000 point mark. Therefore, the Brisa would make sense in saying it's close to 2,000, and therefore we could say it is like Abaya, not like Rav Yosef entertained to say that a pruta depends on that culture, on that history, and that point in time, that it's their lowest currency. It's not true. There is a set value to it, which again, as our Mishnah said, 1/8 of the Italian Isser, and that works well with the Brisa, where although it's going to be not close to 2,000, but since it crosses the halfway point, getting there to that 2,000 mark, that's why it's calling it that when one sins, where the prut is worth of hektish, he has to bring a carbon ashram that's worth 2 sloim, which is almost 2,000 times the amount of that the person's sin of having hana from hektish. So the Gemara continues and says, Gufa, now it goes back to what we mentioned before, this machlaikis, regarding how much is this set amount of the value of the pruta. So we recorded before that Kiyas Rav Dimi Amur Rav Dimi came, he said that Shir Rav Simoi Bidoi Rikami Pruta, that Rav Simoi had evaluated in his generation, because yes, the pruta does go up and down, but you have to know what is the halachic pruta. So how much is the halachic pruta regarding the currency in his days? He said it was Echad Mishmoyne B'Isser Yitalki, it was 1/8 of the Italian Isser. Now Kiyas Ravin Amur, when Ravin came, he said that Shir Rav Distoi, Rav Yana, Rav Oishia, Kami Pruta, they evaluated how much is the pruta. And he said that they said there was Echad Mishisha B'Isser Yitalki, 1/6 of the Italian Isser. So Amalei Abai L'Rav Dimi. So Abai said to Rav Dimi, who he was the one that said it was 1/8, it says, Nema, let's say that at v'ravin beplukta dehanetano kamiflagisu. That really turns out your machlekes amiram is the same machlekes we find by the Tanoim. The Tanoim, like learning the Braisa. The Braisa says, pruta sh'amar chacham, this pruta that the sages said, that it has a certain halachic value to it, as we see in Basil holds, that's the lowest amount a man can be mekadosh a woman for, says the first opinion, says the Tanakama, echad mishmayna be'isir talki. It's 1/8 of the Italian nisr. Now, in explanation, The Tana, the Braisa, goes through different types of coins, of currency, and each one is consecutively lower amounts than the other one. First one, the Tana, the Braisa discusses, that Sheish Mo al Kesef, if it, six Mo Kesef equals to one dinar, so dinar is higher, then goes down a Ma. A Ma is six Ma's is one dinar. Now going even lower, a Ma is Shnei Pundyainen. A Ma is two Pundyainen. And a Pundyan is Shnei Isarin. And the Isser is Shnei Musmisim. And these are all different names of different currency. A Mas is Shnei Kontarainkin. And Kontarak is Shnei Prutais. So says the Tana Lebraisa, this proves my point. Nimtze Pruto comes out that a Pruto is Echad Mishmoina be Isser Taki, is 1/8 of the Italian Isser. Because as we said, two Prutais is a contract, so you have times two. Then you have two contracts is a masmis, that's another times two. And then you have two masmasim, they equal to Shnei Isarim. So that comes out that you're going to do the Prutais times eight is going to take you to, because you do times two, times two, times two, is going to take you up to the Isser. So you see that a Pruta is 1/8 of the Italian Isser. So from that halacha, he says, in other words, by showing you the valuations of currency, shows you the Tana, the Tanakama shows you that's 1/8 of the Italian Nisr. But Reb Shimon Gamliel Leimer, he disagrees. He uses different currencies to show the value of the Pruta. It says, Shleisha Hadresin Lama. There are three Hadresin that equal one Ma. Shnehe Netzin Lahadres. And there's two Hanetzin that are equal to a Hadres. And Shnei Shemonin Lahenates, and two Shemonim are equal to the Hainates, to one Hainates. And base Prutis Lashaman, and two Prutis are equal to the Shaman. So Nimtza comes out that Pruta Achas Mishisha be Isser Italica. It comes out that a Pruta is 1/6 of the Italian Isser. Now, the reason for this is as Rashi explains, Shimon Gamliel agrees that the Isser is 1/24 of a dinner. But what he disagrees with the Tanakhama is that the Prutas are bigger, are higher in the currency than what you're saying. In other words, because a dinner is six ma. So that they all agree on. But now what happens after that will define the differential they have regarding the Pruta. Because a ma is three hadrisim, which comes out that there's 18 hadrisim in the dinner. Because again, Reb Shimon Gamliel is qualifying this based on the evaluation of Prutis towards dinner. So you have 18 hadrisim in the dinner, and then you have 36 heinatsim, which are 72 shemanin, which are 144 prutis. So if you take the 144 prutis and you split them up into 24 parts, because if you want to evaluate in relation to the Isser, which is, we said that one Isser is a 1/24 of a dinner. So it comes out, if you figure out the 144 prutas that are in a dinner, and then you split that up into 24 parts to then calculate it correlating to the Isser, comes out that you have six for each part if you split up into 24 parts. So that comes out that there are six prutas for the Isser, which is 1/24 of a dinner. So although they're starting off at the same point regarding how many, regarding the value of the dinner, but it's how you split that apart that's where they disagree. Because he's saying that the value of the Pruta is higher than how the Tanakhama is evaluating, and therefore that's their machlokes regarding is it 1/8 of the Isser Talke or is it 1/6 of the Isser Talke. So it says Abaya to Rav Dimi, he says, Lema Damar Katanakama. Let's say your machlokes with Ravin is you hold the Tanakhama that it's 1/8 of the Isser Talke. Rabban the Amakur, Rabban Shimon Gamliel, and similarly, Rabban the same like Shimon Gamliel, who he says is 1/6 of the Isser Talki, because again, there's a disagreement about how high is the value of the Prutais. Is it 144 Prutais that are in the dinner, or is like the Tanakhama says there's 192 Prutais in the dinner, which obviously that's the differential regarding then if you split it up according to the Sloim, how much is it going to be, where you have a lower value according to Tanakhama and a higher value according to Shimon Gamliel. So Amalei, so Rav Dimi said to Abai, he says, no. Bein Didi Ubein Ravin Alibet Tanakama. Not just me, but actually Ravin also would hold like the Tanakama, and that would be preferential, not to say that he's like Rav Shimon Gamliel, because you'd rather be like the Stam Mishnah, which is our Mishnah, which says like the opinion of the Tanakama, that says that the Prut is 1/8 of the Isser Talki, not 1/6. Emily Kasha, it's not a difficulty. How could we both be like the Tanna Kamma, yet we have different amounts? And he says 1/6, and I say 1/8. So Rav Dimi explains, he says, because ha, my opinion is the Iyakar Isuri was at a time when the Isur was a higher amount. Ha, the Zoyli, sorry. But Ravin was talking about a time when the Isur was lower down. As the Gemara explains, ha, the Iyakar Isuri, I was talking about when the Isur was higher. Comes out, kum esrim v'arba bezuzim. It was at a time that 24 Isur equal to one dinner, to one zuz. Now, ha, the Zoyl, but he was talking about Ravin when the Isur was lowered down, kum tlasin v'trein bezuzi, which means to say that you needed 32 Isarim to equal to one dinner. So what essentially what Rav Dimi was telling him was that Ravin's opinion was not like a Shimon Gamliel, that was increasing the value of the pruta, and therefore he holds it 1/6 like a Shimon Gamliel was, rather because he was talking about a time when the Isur was lowered down. So it turned out that there was 32 Isarim equal to the one dinner. So the truth is, says Rav Dimi, Ravin agrees to me and to the Tanna Kamma and to the Tanna of Mishnah you have to have at least 192 prutos in the dinner. Again, not like Shimon Gamliel. How he gets his evaluation is because he has this 144 prutos in the dinner, again, because he calculates it according to other currencies. So it comes out that 6 times 32, because again, there's 32 Isurim in the dinner, is going to be 192. That's why it's going to be 1/6 of the Isur. But in the days of Reb Simai, the Isur was higher. And therefore, it's going to come out, it was 24 of them for a dinner. And that's why a pruta was, according to the valuation of 192 to the dinner, was 1/8 of the Isur Talki. Again, not like Reb Shimon Gamliel, who he is saying it's 144th of the dinner, and that's how he gets to 1/6. But again, Ravin doesn't have to be like him. He could even be like the interpretation of the Tanna Kamma. So again, that concludes the discussion, which we said has a set amount. And that's machlekes, what is the set amount between Reb Shimon Gamliel and the Tanna Kamma? And again, even though Ravin seemingly says like Reb Shimon Gamliel, it could even be like the Tanna Kamma again, because since the Isur fluctuated, and we're telling you the amount of the pruta based on its evaluation towards the dinner, everyone could hold 192, but again, that would change according to the value of the Issa. Now, continuing on this halacha of Beis Hillel that holds the minimum amount for kedushin is a pruta, the Gemara tells us the following halacha. Amar Shmuel says, Kicha b'tamara, if a man engages a woman with a date, afilo oimid kur tamarim b'dinner, even if a kur of tamarim, which is a whole large amount of tamarim, is only worth one dinner, Mikudashes, she's going to be engaged, where although if you do the math, it's going to come out that one date is less than the pruta, still she's going to be engaged. Why? Chashinan shemesh shava pruta b'manai, because we're concerned, although here in this locale, it's not worth a pruta, maybe in Madai, maybe in Media, in a different country, there, maybe it's worth a pruta, because that's a place where, let's say, maybe dates are not so common. So therefore, one date would be worth more than the pruta, and we have to be concerned for that, and therefore, out of doubt, we consider her that she's mukadeshes. Now, that's a Gemara ask, but we learned in our Mishnah that Basil Oimrim Bipruta Ubishava Pruta. Basil said, Kedushin has to be with at least a Pruta or worth a Pruta. Now, if you hold a Shmuel's halacha, then really there is no set amount for Kedushin, because anything you could think that maybe depending on supply and demand in some other part of the world, it's going to be worth a Shava Pruta. So why say a minimum amount if anything really is going to create an element of Kedushin? So I think Gemara says, Loikasha, it's not a difficulty. Ha, b'kedushei v'adai. Beis Hillel in the Mishnah was talking about creating definite kedushin. In other words, if in the place where you're engaging a woman, you give her something which is worth in that place a pruta, that's definite kedushin. And let's say if another man comes along and gives her kedushin, she's going to be permitted to the first one, and she doesn't need a get from the second one because she's definitely engaged to the first one. Ha, b'kedushei safik. Shmuel's halacha was referring to what's called doubtful kedushin. And that is, if it's not worth a shava pruta over here, it's not going to be definite kedushin to, let's say, void if another person goes ahead and engages her. All it does is it creates kedusha, a suffix, doubtful kedushin. And in other words, what that means to say, she will not be permitted to another man until she gets a get first from this first person, because we're concerned that maybe it's worth a pruta in Madai. And that's enough to create this doubtful element of kedushin to say that we're not going to be allowing her to get engaged to another person conclusively unless she first gets a get from this first person. Now the Gemara brings a story that says, "Ahu gavra da akdish bezavde de urde." There was a certain man that gave something to a woman for engagement. He gave her a bundle of these types of flock or so a bunch of wool or rags. He gave her these things. Now, Yosef Rav Simi Bar Chiya Kamei de Rav. So Simi Bar Chiya was sitting in front of Rav. But Kamayim Ba, and he was analyzing and evaluating this bundle of wool and these things that he gave to this woman. Yes, Bashava Pruta, in. To see if it's going to have the value of a Shava Pruta, then yes, they're engaged. Eloi loy, but if not, not. So on that asked the Gemara, V'iles b'shava pruta loy, if it doesn't have a value of a pruta, not. But he asked him, V'amar Shmuel, but Shmuel said, and this is what we just quoted before, Chay Shinon, that we are concerned, maybe it's worth a pruta somewhere else. So why are you saying if it's not a pruta, then not? I think Mar says, Loy Kash, again, it's not a difficulty. Again, as we said, Habe Kedushe Vadai, that halacha, that he, why was he analyzing it, was to see if it's definite Kedushin. Habe Kedushe Safek, Shmuel's halacha was regarding doubtful. Yeah, of course, out of doubt, we're going to say she can't marry someone else. But we're not going to know if she's definitely engaged to this one, let's say if someone else comes along, not to pay any attention to him, unless we know definitively that it's worth a pruta. Another incident. Ahu gavar da'akdish ba'avna de'kuchla. There was a certain man that engaged a woman with the stone of kuchla, which is this black marble that has a similar to some blue in it. Yosef Rav Chisda v'komasharli. So Rav Chisda was sitting, and he was evaluating it. Which is, and the reason for this is because actually someone else had come right afterwards and engaged a woman with something that was worth a pruta. So he wanted to check out the first one's kedushin, he isbe shav a pruta in, to see if it has a worth of a pruta, yes. V'iloi loy, and if not, then it's not a kedushin. Now that the Gemara asked, v'iles be shav a pruta loy, what, if it doesn't have the value of a pruta, then it's not going to be considered a kedushin? But v'amar Shmuel chashina, Shmuel said that we're concerned. I think more answers Rav Chisda le Savale de Shmuel. Rav Chisda doesn't hold of this halacha Shmuel, and that's why, yes, if it doesn't have a value of a pruta, we're not concerned at all, and she's not even considered a Safek Mukadeshes. Which Taisus addresses this and says, why didn't the Gemara say the same thing it said previously? Which is that this is, Rav Chisda was only talking about definite Kedushin, but of course he would agree regarding Safek Kedushin. So on that Taisus says no, because as the Gemara will shortly continue the illustration of this story, it's talking about that his brother had gone afterwards and engaged the same woman with a pruta. Now, Rav Chisda was coming to totally exclude the first person's kedushin, and the reason, as we'll see, because he tells the mother that says, no, you're not believed to say that the first ones had a value of kedushin to make her forbidden to the second one who had done a kedushin, a definite kedushin of a pruta. Now, but if you would say, like Rav Chisda, that if you would say like Shmuel that the first ones had at least a kedushi suffix, then he should have said that no, at least she'll need a get from the first person, which actually would make her forbidden to the second one because she would be gerushas achim, should be the divorcee of the brother. So therefore, from as we see later from the next part of the story, where Shmuel wanted to make her permitted to the second guy by saying the first one's not a kedushin if it's not worth a shabbat pruta, obviously it didn't hold like Shmuel, because if you hold like Shmuel, then out of the doubt we're going to require a gerushin from the first one, which would then make her forbidden to the second one anyway because of Grusha's Achav. So that's what the Gemara answers. The Rav Chisda didn't hold the halacha Shmuel. Now, continues the Gemara, the story, Amar le'imei, so the mother had of the first one said, but v'ahu yayma dekitsha, but I'm telling you, the day that he engaged her, have a beishav a pruta, it was worth a pruta. Now, it's only now that it went down in value, and you're looking at it now, and you, the rabbi, you're evaluating, you're saying it's not worth a shava pruta. Oh, the first one's kedushin wasn't a kedushin. She's engaged to the second guy. But I'm telling you, she says, on that day, it was worth a shava pruta, and she's really already engaged to the first guy, not to the second guy. So Amalah, Rav Chisda said to her, Lav kol kaminach. You're not believed to testify regarding the first one's kedushin, the asus la basra, to make her forbidden to the second one. In other words, we see her engaged to the second guy. He gave her a pruta. Now, we have to evaluate something that happened at a previous time, a point in time, where regarding someone that there's a questionable kedushin or not. Now, I'm looking at it now, I'm evaluating, it's not worth a shava pruta. You want to come and testify and say that it was a kedushin, which would then make it forbidden to our current husband? You're not believed. You need two adim, you need two witnesses. The mother of the first chasen is not believed to say that she is already engaged to the first one to make her forbidden on the second one. As Rav Chisda illustrates, as the Gemara continues on Talmud Beis, he proves based on the precedent in Halacha. He says, Lav hainu the Yehudis, the Beis of Rav Chiyah. Isn't this exactly what happened with Yehudis, the wife of Rav Chiyah? The Havi la tzar leida. She was having a lot of pain in childbirth, because she was giving birth to twins. So Amar Lei, so she said to her husband, maybe in way of confession, or saying maybe this is why I'm getting all this pain, Amar Lei Aim, she said, my mother told me, Kabel beich avuch kedusha kizutras. Your father, really, unbeknownst to you, received kedushin to get you engaged to another man, which a father has the rights to do with his minor daughter, when you were young, and truthfully is, your husband, Rabbi Chiya, he's forbidden to you. You're a married woman. All these years, you didn't know. You're married, and that means to say that your husband is forbidden to you, your children are mamzerim, and so on. So Amalah, so her husband, Rabbi Chiya, said to his wife, Lav kol kaminach de'imech, your mother is not believed, the asus lechi lavei, to make you forbidden on me. And that is a halacha which has huge ramifications. That is, although your mother is testifying, she's saying she's coming to the chuppah, and Rav Moshe Feinstein is saying your mother is not believed, because even though she's saying, I'm telling you, this is what your father did, she's not believed. We need the testimony of two witnesses to make a woman forbidden as a davar she'be'erva on her husband. And therefore, says Rav Chisda, that's the same thing he tells this mother too. You're not believed to tell me that it was worth a kedushin at that point in time, and therefore she's permitted to this second man. Now, however, Amar li Rabban Rav Chisda, but Rabban had a different problem with Rav Chisda's psak halacha. They says, Amai, why? Why are you permitting her to this second person? Ha'ikar sahadi be'idis, there are witnesses in this place called Idis, who on that day, when the first guy made kedushin, were here, and then they left to somewhere else. Now, they're now in Idis. But the Yadi, they know that they know that on that day it was worth a Shavapruta. At least that's the word that's going around, that these two people know about it. They're just in that faraway place. So if you have two witnesses that could testify that she had been engaged from the first guy because it was worth a Shavapruta, how are you now letting her get engaged to another guy because you're evaluating and you don't see it being worth a Shavapruta? So says Rav Chisda to the rabbis, he says, Hashta mi'lo lesno, come on. Right now they're not here. We don't have to be concerned that maybe there is such witnesses to testify at a later point in time. When that happens, we'll deal with that. But right now we don't have to be concerned that maybe something could happen. We don't have to be anxious about it, and even in halacha. Right now, this is what we see. And therefore I say that she permitted to the second man. And he proves his point again. He says, Lav hayna d'Reb Chanina. Isn't this exactly what happened with Reb Chanina, which is brought in Masechet Ksubis regarding the daughters of Shmuel who were taken in captivity by non-Jewish owners. Now, when they were traveling with them, they came to the Beis Medrash of Reb Chanina. So the daughters of Shmuel, they left the captors outside and they came into the Beis Medrash. One daughter stood up and spoke and she says, I was taken as a captive, but I'm tahar. I was not violated by the captors, because if she was, then it would create certain problems for marriage. And then the other daughter got up and she also said the same thing. And Reb Chanina permitted them to marry Kahuna, which generally if you are violated by the captors, you're not allowed to. But here he believed them because of what's called Pesha Asa Pesha Hiter. The mouth that created the problem, which was no one knew that they were taken into captivity, they themselves said it. So Pesha Hiter, they're also allowed to then qualify it and say it, that however I wasn't violated. But the problem is the other rabbi said to Reb Chanina, says, what do you mean? But there are witnesses overseas that saw they were taken in captivity. And the Mishnah tells us if there are witnesses who say that they were taken in captivity, and the woman says, but I am Tahar, she's not believed, because we assume that she was violated. Here you're based on Pesha Asa, but it's not Pesha Asa, it's not them creating the Isser, because there are witnesses that could testify the Isser. So Reb Chanina said to them, okay, but are there any witnesses here today? No. There's no one here testifying that they were taken in captivity. And therefore, we're going to permit them, again, because based on the principle, the only way that we know is through their own testimony, and they could qualify based on Pesha Asa, Pesha Yata. Because Amr Chanin, like Chanin said, he says, Eidehu bitzad istam. The witnesses that you're talking about that say that she was taken captivity are all the way in the north, and they're not coming and testifying. Viti Asr, and so what, so we should make them forbidden based on them? No one ever said such testimony. And therefore says Rav Chisda, the same thing is over here. Even though you're telling me that there's word that there are witnesses in this place, Idis, that could testify it was worth a Shavapruta, but now they're not here, and therefore I go on what I see, and therefore this woman's not believed, and I'm permitting her to the second man, and not assuming, even out of doubt, that she was engaged to this first man. Now, however, the Gemara tells Abaye and Rava leisfir lehu lahad Rav Chisda. Abaye and Rava did not hold to this psak halacha of Rav Chisda to permit this woman to the second man, because they were concerned of that there are witnesses in Nidus that could testify that she was engaged to the first man, because they'll say that this that he had given her was worth a Shavapruta on that day. Now, moreover, they say that Rav Chisda's proof from Chanina is not a proof. And they say, because im hekilu b'shvuya, if bar b'chanin's halacha, where they were lenient regarding the halachas of captivity. Now, the reason why over there he was lenient is Dimanav Lanafsha Gabi Shavoy. A woman taken in captivity will make herself repulsive to the captors because they don't want the captors to violate them. So there it makes sense to be lenient with all the other variables to say that, okay, there's no witnesses testifying, and we have reason to assume that maybe they weren't totally violated, so therefore they were lenient. But says Abai and Rabbah, Nekel Be'eshes Ish, but we should be lenient regarding halacha of regarding marriage, where, as Tesis explains, that those who interpret what Abai and Rabbah were saying was, if we're going to be lenient regarding captivity, that's because that even if witnesses would come along and say in court that they were taken in captivity, but we still wouldn't know definitively that they were violated, it's just an assumption that we make that we're concerned for. So therefore, that wouldn't be biblically that they would be prohibited to a kayin. So okay, fine, so it makes sense. A, the witnesses didn't come, and even if they would come, it wouldn't be biblically prohibited. So fine, there Reb Chanin was lenient. But how could Rav Chisda take it to the next level regarding being lenient regarding the halachas of marriage of a married woman? Because if there are witnesses, which is a concern in this other place, that would come and say that this Avna Kuchla was worth a Shava Pruta, then she's totally a married woman. She's an Ashes Ish. Doesn't make sense to be lenient and let her marry another person when there's witnesses over there. But Rav Chanin, okay, the witnesses didn't come and that's what he said, but it's because even if they would come, it wouldn't be a biblical violation. But here, if the witnesses would come, it would be a biblical violation. That means to say, they would say she's a married woman, you're allowing her to marry someone else? Say, Abai and Rava, we disagree with Rav Chisda, we would not permit this woman to get married to this second man. Now, the Gemara continues this saga, is that Ishtar Mahi Mishpacha Besura. There was some remnants of this family in Surah from this woman who ended up marrying this second man based on Rav Chisda's psak and had children from him. And the rabbis distanced themselves from that family. Says the Gemara, V'lav mishum desvir le deshmul, and it's not because they held of Shmuel's halacha that you have to be concerned that maybe it was worth, even though when Rav Chisda evaluated this Avna Kuchla and they saw it wasn't worth a Shava Pruta, it's not because they were concerned for Shmuel who said that it's still Safik Mekudashas and she can't marry the second guy out of doubt because maybe Madai it's worth a Pruta. No, they're not concerned for that. For that, they agreed with Rav Chisda that we're not concerned that, and you're right, if it never had a value, we're never concerned. El Meshum Nesvilu Kabayeva Rav. It's only because they held like Abai and Rava, which is since there are witnesses in Idis who could testify that the Kedusha Rishon was worth a Shava Pruta, we can't be lenient because here we're talking about Eshes Ish. You have to be concerned that maybe these witnesses know something and you can't, without evaluating, without hearing from these witnesses, allow this woman to marry a second man. It's a Suffolk Eshes Ish. And that's why, although Rav Chisda permitted this woman, they stayed away from this family because all the children could be mamzerim, because the first Kedushin may very likely have been a Kedush, a Vadai of a Shava Pruta. The Gemara continues on these type of stories, the Ahu Gavra, the Akdish Bishrutisa Da'asa. There was a certain man who had engaged a woman with a branch of a myrtle. And he did this bishuka in the marketplace. So Shalcha Rav Acha Bar Huna Lekameda Rav Yosef. So Rav Acha Bar Huna sent this question in front of Rav Yosef, and he says, Kai Gav Namai, what's the halacha in this type of situation? So Shalcha Lehi responded to him two things. He says, first of all, Nagdei Kerav. You got to give this guy lashes, because as the Gemara will shortly explain, as Rav says, that if someone engages a woman in the marketplace, it's a breach of modesty. So first of all, you got to give him lashes. But moreover, said Rabbi Yosef, it's darach gita. If she wants to marry someone else, she would require a get, kishmul, like Shmuel said, who, although that really a branch of a myrtle, it's a joke, would mean you're getting engaged to me, it's not worth a Shava Pruta. But Shmuel said you have to be concerned that maybe in Madai, which is just a term we're using, maybe somewhere far out, a myrtle is so precious with supply and demand, it's worth more than a Shava Pruta. So therefore, we have to be concerned that we at least give it an element of Suffolk Kedushin, and therefore she would at least require a get from him if she would want to go ahead and get married to someone else. But the Gemara explains, what is this concept of you got to give him lashes because he gave her this myrtle branch in the street and engaged her there that he gets lashes? Because as the Gemara says, the Rav Mangid, Rav gave lashes for the following six types of things. Al de Mekadesh Beshuka. If someone engages a woman in the open street, in the marketplace, he gets lashes because it's a breach of modesty. Kedushin is something that's intimate. You don't do it out in the street. Regarding someone that gets engaged with an act of cohabitation. Although our Masechta opened up that Isha Niknes, you could create Kedushin with Kesef Shtar Biyah, but Rav held that it was inappropriate for as according to Rav's discretion. And therefore he said, if someone's going to engage a woman with cohabitation, he gets lashes. Moreover, the Mekadesh B'lei Shidduchei is also considered pritzis. If you get engaged without Shidduchim, without having already made up that we want to go ahead with this relationship, and create a Shidduch, become a pair, if a person right away, the first thing he does is that he does the act of Bia, does any Kedushin without Shidduchim, that's inappropriate. He would give lashes for that. Now, moreover, other things was about the Mevatel Gita. If someone would void a get, whereas Rashi explains it as if, let's say someone sends a get to his wife, and he runs after the shliach and he encounters him and he tells him, look, the get that I told you is void. So that is a concern, because maybe other people will not know that the husband voided the get before the shliach came to the woman. And maybe the shliach will not care about what this husband is saying. And he says, no, you told me I have a mission, I'm going to bring this to your wife. And he's going to give it to her even after the husband had voided it, and she's going to get married with it, which of course creates problems because she's really an Eishes Ish, and all the children are going to be mamzerim. So even though really he technically could be mevatlet, whereas Tosfos discusses regarding this case of Rashi, where it seems like we're dealing with a wicked person type of a shliach, but according to all opinions, you can go ahead and tell the shliach to stop and not deliver it, still Rav would give lashes to such a person because it could run into these types of problems where the shliach will still go ahead with it and it could create all these halachic problems with mamzerim. He would give lashes to a person that would do that. And Valdemosim Meidoa Gita, someone that would put out a notice regarding a get, for which he had to do, for example, what's called a get mu'usa, where the courts sometimes have rights to force the husband to give a get, he says, oh, this is against my will, I don't really want this, where he's making, which could create problems for this woman, because there's going to be rumors about her children that they're really mamzerim, because they're going to say, oh, she wasn't really divorced, I heard from the husband. Again, that he would give lashes to such a person because of the inappropriateness that he's causing. And Valdemitzar Shlucha Drabban, someone caused pain to the messenger of the courts, where he brings the subpoena, he tells the certain messages from the courts, and this guy gets up and he gives him lashes, says, get out of here, and he hits him. Someone pains the Shliach of the Rabban, and Rav would give lashes to that person. And Valdecholah Shamta Ilavei Tlasin Yemen, if someone had upon himself an excommunication from the court for 30 days and he did nothing to take care of that, he would give lashes to such a person. And Valchasna de Dari Bechamua, regarding a son-in-law that lives by his in-laws, he would give lashes to such a person too. And the reason being is because maybe he's going to be a stumbling block, because generally the mother-in-law loves her son-in-law. As the Gemara says in Masechta Pesachim, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, that especially with the first son-in-law, you got to be very careful with your wife, because there's a certain inappropriateness that could be with a mother-in-law and her son-in-law. He would give lashes to a son-in-law that lives by his in-laws. Now the Gemara asks on that last one, the Dayur in Chalaf Lo, it sounds like what, only if he lives by his in-laws, but not if he just passes by? But ask the Gemara, but Ba'ahu Chasna, the Chalaf Abava de Bechamu, there was a certain son-in-law that passed by the opening, the entryway of his in-laws' house, Vinagdi Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes gave him lashes. So the Gemara says, no, ahu, that guy made him have his daima chamse mine. His mother was already suspected of having an inappropriate relationship with that son-in-law, which that's the word made them, as we find elsewhere in Saita Duma and Bas Duma, where for such a person, you're not supposed to even pass by the opening. For such a guy, even passing by, he gave him lashes. But generally, regular son-in-law could pass by. He just can't live there again because of what it could cause down the road. Now, however, the Gemara does say that Nahardai Amri, they, however, disagree, and they say that Bekulu Loi Mangid Rav. Actually, in all these cases that were described, Rav would not give lashes. Ela Al, the Mekadesh Bebiya B'lei Shidduchei. The only one that Rav would give lashes for was if a man would engage a woman, A, without Shidduchim, he hadn't made up with her, they didn't make Alachayim, say, okay, we're getting engaged, we're working towards marriage. And the first thing that he does is the Kedushin of Bia. So he does an act of cohabitation, and that's their first thing that he held was very highly inappropriate, and he would give lashes for that. There are those that say, that no, if a man is mekadesh a woman, not like giving money or shtar or giving the ring, rather he does it with bia, even if they already had a shidduch, they already had made up that they're going to become a unit, they're going to work towards marriage, Still, if the first thing that he was Mekadeshah was with Bia, he would give lashes Mishum Pritzus, again, because of its inappropriateness. It's a breach in modesty for the relationship to start off with Kedushim, even with a Kedushim of Bia, and therefore he would give lashes for such a type of a person.